2 Timothy chapter 3. We spent a great deal of time yesterday and the day before studying the word for persecutions. And in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the idea that it's guaranteed that if you're following in Him, that you will suffer persecution. It's guaranteed that you'll be hated of all men. Because you're a threat to every form of thought that exists on the face of the earth. You're a threat to every philosophy, every form of government. If you're not, then you're not speaking. You're a threat to every value system, every thing that anyone thinks is important or esteems. If you're not speaking it, then you're not a threat to anybody. You're just a little
pissant
walking through life. I can't tell you how important it is. I mean, right now, for instance, this thing that's going on with the prosperity gospel in Africa, in Asia, in South America, in the poorest countries in the world, it's spreading like wildfire. And it is the sickest form of Christianity there is. It's total and complete apostasy. And we who know better need to speak against it. I mean, it's leading, it's to me, it's more serious than any time in history in terms of the you know. But we you know, what do we do? Well, our mind just, well, that's just fine.
I get these emails, God's going to take care of it.
Well, anyway, so we studied all about persecution. The next word is affliction. Now, this is not the normal word for affliction, which is thlispus, which is the squeezing, we glory in affliction and all that. This is a different word, and it's extremely important. This is the word that means your internal response to persecution. What goes on within you? And it's that word, it's comes from the Greek word pathos. It's pathos, pathema, but it's just variations of the same word. And it's translated as lust in some cases, and inordinate affection. It's translated as motions, as suffering. And we'll try to see all those in a minute. Because these different words are used for a reason, but in English, they just don't translate. They don't mean anything. There's no difference in English between whether you're suffering or because you're being whipped or something, or you're suffering because of internal what's going on inside you. So we're going to spend a little time on this. It's kind of important. So the verse says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So first, before we get into all of the different scriptures about that are come from this internal pathos, let's look at first at Antioch. It's Acts 13. We're going to. So it's saying he suffered both persecutions, which are the external, and he suffered affliction, which is the internal response to it. What, Gary? You're doing something weird.
I'm thinking the them out of this. For some reason, it just has a different meaning to me. But out of, instead of them all, but out of all, the Lord delivered me. It's like there's.
Yeah, them is a meaning. I mean, that's just
them kind of waters it down to meaningless. But all out of all, the Lord has delivered me. So it's a there's that. But on this other thing you started with about the
But out of them all, what's it's? A,
well, if you take the all them out, it means more to me than
just those two. Them makes it site specific to that scripture.
All right.
Yeah. But I was thinking about your other thing about the. On the one hand, we rejoice that Christ is preached, and yet it's not the same Christ we know. I don't know how to square that operation.
I don't. You mean
you're talking about in Africa? They're preaching the prosperity gospel, but are they preaching Christ, and we would rejoice for that?
Well, they're naming Christ, and that's the same thing. This is an issue that I had with Harry all the time. He couldn't understand how I could make fun of or see what Benny Hinn does or one of those guys, and yet I can rejoice that Christ is preached. It's the same thing. Because Christ is preached, then it becomes a viable possibility that they will see. But when they're led by the pastors into this other heresy, then I have great concern for the people that are being led astray by that.
And to that, it would be great to have a form to preach or whatever.
Well, it's just got to be. There's a crew coming from Netherlands about this very subject. So, anyway. All right, at Antioch, it's Acts 13. Let's go to verse. Let's go to verse 44. So Paul is going all over the place, and Luke is recording what he's doing. So he's been at Antioch and Cyprus, and now he comes to this he's coming to Antioch here. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, so lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord God commanded us, saying, I have set thee a light, to be a light to the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium." Okay, so again, this is what he is saying is the affliction, the internal suffering that he had because of the persecutions. Now, he was chased out of the city, but he was still concerned for the people that were believers. So that's one kind of internal suffering that the persecutions cause. Everybody understand the difference between external and internal suffering? All right. The next one is, well, we're there.
And they're both persecutions.
Huh?
Same thing, persecutions. It's whether.
No, they're different words. And it's important that we understand those different words. It's guaranteed that you will have external persecutions. The question is, what is your response to them? And that's what we're talking about.
Okay, but it's also guaranteed to have internal persecutions.
Yeah, but you don't have to stay in them.
Right.
the Lord will deliver you out of them as soon as you repent.
Which is another thing. I mean, you respond to them in repentance, but you respond outward to them in another way.
Well, you
by speaking.
Yeah.
By opening your mouth.
Yeah. All right. All right, no, we're still, then we'll just continue in chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews also and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra. Anyway, we could go on in all these places, but he specifically quotes, and he's saying to Timothy that Timothy was with him and noticed what the response to all this was, both at Antioch and Iconium and in Lystra. But we're not going to go to study Lystra, okay? So let's see if we can understand this stuff about affliction or persecution and what, again, In the word is translated lust, wants, inordinate affection. It's translated suffering. It's translated affections. But it means this internal response to external persecution or affliction or trouble or sickness or whatever it is. All right? All right. I'm going to try to go in order just for Ronnie's sake. Let's go to Romans 1. I get, do all of you understand the importance of this, that there's two different, completely different words for external and internal? Does it make any sense to you why we're studying this?
Yeah, to know the difference. To know that there is a difference in how completely...
It's guaranteed that you will have external...
Right.
Affliction. And persecution.
And persecution. If you speak.
If you be yourself. That's
if you speak what you know.
Yeah.
You can be silent and get by with anything. We talked about yesterday. Be a different person in each environment you're in. The question is, what about your internal response to it?
And that's what you can control.
No, you don't. What you have to see is that your internal response is being a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And therein, you take yourself again out of the picture.
Right. You don't exist.
You don't blame yourself because you are depressed. You don't worry about whether or not you can't understand something. Whatever internal response is going on, the first thing you do is you reckon that you're a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And therein, by that reckoning, you take you out of the picture, and God will then deliver you internally. Nothing may change, but you will be free internally. As long as you get you out of the picture. It's not you that's going through this. It's not you that's being blah, blah, blah. You are gone. You're history. Now you are partakers internally of the sufferings of Christ. And I promise you, once you see that and understand it, then all of a sudden, you can be totally... Remember how many thousand times Harry... He was so screwed up, he was going to leave. He was going back to New Jersey. Everything was wrong. And you could say a couple words to him, and nothing changed. It was exactly the same, and yet he was on top of the world. Well, that's your heritage. You don't have to keep into this idiotic thing and, oh, poor me and all this and all that. Oh, what am I going to do about it? You got to get rid of that. And the secret of it is the understanding of these words. I just went on a rant again, didn't I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will you forgive me?
Serious? I don't even remember you say that. Oh, my God.
I was busting Bojo.
Oh.
This is Bojo bust.
John.
I was. I'm sorry.
Now you busted.
Now I'm busted. Right. When Carolyn busts me, I'm busted.
Exhortation.
Persecution is obvious. If somebody hits you over the head, it's an external thing. But this affliction thing is kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's kind of a worldly thing, because in order to be afflicted, you kind of have to accept a little bit of some premise that isn't really spiritual. It's more of a physical, worldly, fleshy thing. So I'm having a hard time with that.
Well, but what you're doing is you're not playing sorcery games like, we used to do in yoga or any of these Hindu or other philosophies where you convince yourself you're in nirvana someplace and you can go through and get all kinds of stuff. You can hurt and do everything. You don't even have any sensation of it. That's not what this mystery of God is about. The mystery of God is seeing that you are a partaker of His sufferings. And the understanding of that transforms it into something that leads to the glorious liberty of Him. I'm gonna quit here. We're gonna study this.
Why are you doing that?
Question.
Because I want all that stuff what we just said to sink in.
One of the things you said a few minutes ago is that affliction also includes want. It means
lust.
And lust. Is it
an ordinate affection?
It's the same word that is translated lust throughout the.
No, just an occasion. But mostly lust is epithemia, and it means wanting more than you have. This is a different. Lust here is the pathos. But it's always this inordinate affection, this motions of your mind. It's this response to. The only way I can understand it and speak it from my own experience in a drastic one is that time when I was lying on the floor, curled up in pain, incontinent, wetting my pants, everything.
I was just thinking of that when you said that.
And I had to say, Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered. And what that transaction caused is that I was a partaker of His sufferings. And it led to freedom. But it was at a level that was so deep, it was beyond my consciousness. It was no possibility of me being able to say those words in the state that I was in, yet I said them anyway. Now that's the kind of thing. This is, in other words, everything about you is God's business.
That would be an evidence of Christ in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of many, but this is a particular one that was really dramatic.
Like you say, you in the flesh couldn't really say that.
I could never say that.
But Christ in you understood and could say it to me.
Yeah, that when that happened, that scripture in Romans where it said that the groanings of the Spirit, I have no idea. To do. Anyhow, please, I know that some of you get all confused because you think you shouldn't be or shouldn't be this or shouldn't be that. You just got to transform it to understand that you are partaker of His suffering. It's not about you in any way.
Thinking about all this in context of this community where we are, it's worked out in us here, and this is our place where we can be ourselves, still suffer persecution. Anybody around here who's themselves will get persecuted, other people make fun of them or laugh or whatever if you act like you really are. I see that little grin on your face.
Well, understanding, to understand the whole idea of not idea, to understand perspective and affliction, it takes the fellowship. I mean, because you could never see this on your own. It takes one another. It has to, that's the only way it's possible.
Well, I'm sure that it's possible for some to do this alone. But it wasn't possible for me. So,
you know, I'm just thinking the challenge is to not conform your behavior in this place so that you won't suffer persecutions. That would be foolish around here.
You don't, yeah, because if you have a discernment of an ant, you can see it.
I was just gonna
make
say
fun
that.
Of them more.
It's like if you then see you, anybody conform,
you know,
it's like,
you do this thing. It's the you just shoot randomly, and then when he screams, then you shoot him 20 more times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I do to Ronnie.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's important that we I want this to gel a little bit in you about this mystery of internal confusion. Sadness, depression, all these things. The thing about depression is that it's the Book of Revelation talks about it, that you descend into the pit. But the moment that you can see that you are a partaker of His sufferings, then it loses its power. You can rejoice in the midst of that. That's impossible for the human mind to understand.
Right.
Because you have to always take you out of the picture.
That
it's not happening to me. I died. I'm dead meat. I am a partaker of the sufferings of Him to fill up the affliction that is lacking for His body, the bride's sake. Amen?
So to be delivered from affliction requires repentance.
Amen.
Constant.
The repentance that you think you should be different than you are.
Or that the situation is so different than what it is.
Right. And always, that's why it said, I had to ask God for wanting to be delivered from pain. Forgiveness. Well, the same is true. You have to see, there has to be a transaction, which is, again, it always is of repentance. If you can't do that, then you're stuck. But if you can see, oh my God, I've been deceived again. Father, forgive me for wanting to be blah, blah, blah. Then you're back on the mercy seat. You see that you're out of the picture. But this is only possible for those who know that they know that Christ is in them. Otherwise, you just have to continue on in your little life and find out, oh my God. That's why the predicate for Christianity is your death. If you don't see that, then you're going to read the Bible. It's just like you read everything else. How does this affect me? And you'll live on in your own little fantasy world about what philosophy or what you think, or you will think your thinking is important. And you'll get mad when I say, I don't give a holy rat's ass what you think about it. Your opinion is, and my opinion, is less than nothing. Amen?
Amen?
All right, take a big guy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I'm going to quit playing that card. It's gotten me nowhere.
It's gotten me nowhere.